Thanks very much to our young people for reminding us of the Easter story. And it's important for us to remember the whole context of what it is that today is all about. And particularly those words of Jesus that he spoke from the cross as well, those seven statements that he made, that each have real significance in the light of the story that we know so well. But maybe this Easter you just take a bit of time just to think about each of those seven statements, and you begin to understand again, or dig a bit deeper into the experience of the cross and the crucifixion that Jesus did for you. But today I just want to think about that last statement, that very dramatic moment on the cross where Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "It is finished." And then he gave up his spirit. Your last words are so important. They're worth listening to because they're the words that count really in this whole story. It is finished. I'm sure with me, you can't wait to hear those words, "It is finished," through this COVID-19 crisis. Can you imagine that day when it is finished, when we're set free again, when life returns to whatever life returns to at that particular time? It's going to be a great day when we finally hear that statement, "It is finished." We're going to party like it's 1960, although some of you won't be able to remember 1960, but I can assure you it was a great year and worth partying about as well. It's hard to imagine really what that is going to feel like when all the current restrictions perhaps have been relaxed, because they've probably almost become normal for us. But when this is over, it's going to feel like a whole new day. We'll be able to breathe again. We'll be able to meet again, which will be a wonderful day. Of course, these words are familiar to us in the light of the Easter story, the final cry from the lips of Jesus as he struggled for breath through the agony of his lungs being crushed by the full weight of his own body hanging on the cross, suffering excruciating pain from being flogged, exhausted from carrying the cross and having nails driven into his hands and feet. It is finished. From the cry of despair and doubt and perhaps even dereliction of, my God, why have you forsaken me? Is this a cry of desperation, of desolation, the cry of relief or the cry of resignation? Or can we hear the echo of a new beginning, something that was going to come out of this Black Friday on that green hill far, far away? One thing is sure. He wasn't just a vicarious victim of a barbaric father. He wasn't just a powerless pawn being dictated to by the whim of some grandmaster chess player. In the midst of his suffering, Jesus knew what the cross was all about. And through the humiliation and the degradation, the loneliness and the abuse, Jesus said, "It is finished." So how do you hear his cry today on this Good Friday? Far removed and sanitized from the setting just outside that city wall, yet knowing perhaps some of the isolation and even the loneliness of being in a place like that yourself, and maybe particularly at this time. Of course, in that very volatile part of the world where religion and politics got very mixed up, many were looking for a leader who would come and overthrow the occupying force of Rome and lead Israel to freedom again, just like Moses had all those years ago. Many before Jesus had, of course, come and pretended to be the Messiah, or maybe they were convinced themselves and deluded that they were actually the Messiah. But the Romans had finished them all off easily and ended their potential threat without any problem. The roads were lined with crosses every single day to assert Rome's dominance. But on this day, on that particular cross, something different was unfolding. For one criminal hanging alongside Jesus that day, one of the many enemies of Rome who had been crucified during that occupation time, they believed it certainly was finished. For Pilate, Caesar's representative in that region, he would be very satisfied to hear that it was finished. For the soldiers that day, they were glad to hear that it was finished. I mean, it was dark, it was cold and wet on that hill. They wanted to get back to the barracks. They'd just dealt with another insurrectionist very efficiently, as was Rome's way. For the religious authorities that day, the chief priests and the Pharisees vying for Rome's favour, who didn't want anyone to upset the fine-tuned balance of their relationship, their own agendas to maintain, their own favourable position and control to keep going. The words, "It is finished," were tinged with a sense of relief that day. For the crowds, they didn't seem to care that it was finished. After all, they'd secured the release of their favourite Barabbas. What use is a Messiah who wouldn't take up arms, who wouldn't rally the troops and mount a revolution? And what about the followers of Jesus? Most of them weren't there, anywhere to be seen that day, let alone close enough to hear these final words. For their own safety, they'd decided perhaps that it was indeed finished. But for one criminal, for one Pharisee, for one centurion, for Mary, for John, who heard Jesus speak these words, "It is finished," began to mean something much more for them on that day. The Greek word that is translated "it is finished" has several meanings. It can mean a servant returning to his master saying, "I've completed everything that you've asked me to do." It's also used when a merchant stamps on an invoice, "Paid in full. The debt between us is now finished." It was also used when the priest examining a lamb for sacrifice announces, "This sacrifice is perfect. It is finished." This is not the half-hearted cry of someone who holds back the best, saying, "That will do." This isn't someone who leaves a debt for someone else to pay, saying, "It's too much, I can't afford it." Jesus didn't come to start a job. He came to finish it, to see it through. He didn't come to start the race. He came to cross the line with victory on his lips. "It is finished." On that day, on that hill, under this blackening sky, he declared, "It is finished." Not just for one, but for all. It's finished for every criminal, for every soldier, for everyone who is religious, for everyone in authority, for every leader, even the oppressors, for everyone in the crowd, for everyone who runs away, who turns their back, for everyone who hides, for everyone who follows. It is finished. I had to have an eye test a couple of weeks ago, and as I put my head into the machine to see what I could see, the operator said to me, "I want you to focus on the cross." Well, as I looked intently through this machine, I couldn't see the cross at all. It just didn't seem to be there. And obviously I was worried that my eyesight was that bad that I couldn't see it. But then she said these words to me. She said, "The cross is outside the machine." I didn't quite understand what she meant, but as I just widened my gaze, indeed the cross appeared to be outside the machine, and I could see it. Yeah, the cross of Jesus was most definitely outside the machine. Pilate, the controller of the machine, thought it was finished. The religious people who wanted control of the machine, they thought it had finished. But the cross is outside of political power. It's outside of religious power. It stands separate from the control of those who want to be in control. It stands in a place where you and I can see it, if only we'd look for it, outside the machine, outside the form, outside the regulation, outside the rules. Jesus, the cross, stands for you and me to see and to experience. See, the cross is not the end. It is the beginning of life in all its fullness for all who will pause long enough to hear the cry, to believe it, to look at the cross and live out the result of it. What no high priest could do, Jesus did. He came to establish a new covenant, tearing down the walls of hostility between us and God, ripping the curtain that separates us from the very presence of the Father, opening up a new and living way for all people to come to him. It is finished. He took the punishment for our sins and our failures. He paid the debt that we could never pay. He paid it in full. It is finished. He revealed the height, the depth, the length, the breadth of the love God has for all people. He so loved the world that he sent Jesus to die for you once and for all, so that you, me, so that we could have eternal life. It is finished. Satan defeated, death destroyed, life without end, the power of the future brought into the present. It is finished. But what is our response? What will you do with this good news today? Will you finish the race that you've started? Perhaps today there's unfinished business in your life. Maybe you need to know that the job has been done by Jesus, and you can put down all the weight of the past that you still carry, because Jesus declares it is finished. And you put down what has been, and you pick up the potential of what is today. Perhaps today you need to embrace the forgiveness that he came to bring you, when he paid in full the debt that we could never pay for the wrong we've done. It is finished, and you're included in that declaration. Or maybe today you need to find faith, and in return for the love of Jesus to you, that you love him in return. And as he gave his life for you, you will give your life to him. Today is Good Friday because it's good for us. And on Friday, God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. On Friday, it is finished, and the whole of heaven held its breath as the King of Kings took his place and asked us for a response. Make it today. Make this a good Friday. And know the love of a Saviour, the Saviour Jesus, who came and who died for you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus. Thank you that at just the right time he came. When we were powerless, he came. When we needed love, he came. And thank you for the obedience that took you, Jesus, to the cross, so that we might have life through your death, that we might know forgiveness through your sacrifice. Pour out your love into our hearts today, I pray, and may we know with confidence that what you've done has fulfilled your promises and set us free to enjoy life in all its fullness. In your name, Jesus. Amen.